Hey, we want to talk about email marketing today, and you know, it's almost on the border of hypocritical.
It's kind of a favorite topic, yeah, because we love it and hate it at the same time.
Yeah, love-hate relationship, yeah, a good way, more hate than love. But let's think about this. Is there was a shift, you know, years ago, and you had, remember the movie Meg Ryan and
You've Got Mail.
You've Got Mail.
Yeah.
You know, there was, and that was back, I think it was AOL before it was even, you know, connected to the internet.
Actually. It was Yahoo.
Was it Yahoo? Yahoo?
I don't know. No, it was AOL. AOL, that's right.
Because in the middle of the mailbox, and you get mail. And there's these scenes of Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks sitting there staring at the computer, waiting for the mailbox thing to pop up, and then great anticipation and great eagerness. Well, that doesn't exist anywhere in the world anymore.
Right.
Nobody sits and stares at their iPhone or their tablet or their, you know, their Mac or their PC, hoping for another email. And in fact, it's the opposite. Is most people nowadays check their email with dread. They are working on sorting through all the volume to get to something that's a work-related email that they have to deal with, or maybe there's they're subscribed to a couple of interesting newsletters that they want. Or maybe they're a shopping addict and they're looking for the auction sites or the, you know, the Nordstrom email. But
so it's necessary.
Yeah.
Everybody has to deal with it, but it's also anxiety provoking.
Yeah.
There's a psychology of email that you have to understand to be effective with it.
Yeah. And I would say overwhelming, right? Is, you know, we know that the number one thing that big corporations are trying to do, and that's the reason that Basecamp and Slack and, you know, Microsoft's, whatever it's called.
Microsoft Teams, yeah, Monday.com.
Yeah. Yeah. All of that is designed to get rid of email in the corporate environment because it's become so overwhelming. But it's also been a extremely effective marketing tool. And it was an extremely effective marketing tool, and frankly, it continues to be an effective marketing tool. And the nice thing about it is, you know, within parameters, is essentially free, right? Is, you know, a MailChimp or Constant Contact or a CRM, you know, you're gonna utilize that app for an inexpensive amount of money, and then for all intents and purposes, you know, kind of no matter how much the list scales, it's going to be a marginal additional cost at best. And for most of us, it's going to be essentially free, right?
Right.
But big mistakes get made in this. And the first mistake, I'll start with this, is that advisors think, oh, I don't want to bug people too often. So why don't I send them an email once a month? Or why don't I send them an email once a week? Or why don't I send them an email once a quarter? And what happens with that is, again, think about what in reality is happening, is let's say it's 200 emails a day, and whatever comes in next goes on top and it works its way down, and you're trying to stay out of the commercial, you know, tab in Google if you're using Gmail. You're trying to stay out of the spam regardless. And so one is, if you're mailing to them infrequently, is that's when they perceive it to be spam.
Right.
If you're mailing to them every day or twice a day, I go back to a couple years now, but Wall Street Journal had a pretty big article on email by major retailers, Nordstrom and Macy's and so forth. And they were finding those companies, and they're higher sharp marketers. They were emailing their average client between 360 and 780 times a year. So
once or twice a day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so part of getting email to work is frequency of engagement, right? And so what we know is you're probably better off not to use it if you're only going to do once a month.
Yeah, you're going to encourage more opting out. I think that's what people get scared about. If I email them too much, am I going to piss them off?
Or complaints, spam complaints.
Depending on which email system you can get. You're worried about getting in trouble for spam complaints.
Yeah.
And that's a real problem. And the worst way to have that problem is to make your email inconsistent. Mm-hmm. It's not about frequency. When you up frequency, you tend to get more opt-outs initially, but it settles out. Because when people see your email, they're more likely in the long run to just delete it, or it ends up going into spam for the ones that aren't interested. Yeah. But the ones that are interested are gonna just either ignore it or respond eventually.
Yeah. And then the next thing that happens is I think what happens with almost everybody is they want it to be professional. So oftentimes they get this elaborate HTML format, template, and they make it look corporate. And there's a big mistake of individuals moving from being an individual human to trying to use a corporate.
Well, and I think what happens there too, that makes it easy to do that, is you're an individual, you have an individual operator practice, so there's just one of you, and you get Constant Contact or MailChimp or one of these really inexpensive software packages, and they have these luscious templates. Mm-hmm. And so they look like something that came from a billion-dollar company, and you think, oh, I'm going to look really important. Mm-hmm. So you do that, and you make it look that way. So because you think you'll look more important. What you actually look like is you're one of a million. You're one of all these other companies that are responding. What you want to look like is you're a person. You're an individual. You're having a conversation with them.
And you neuter the effectiveness.
Yeah, and now it's okay to use some cosmetics, to use some graphics and some personality in it, but to use like some template with a big huge graphic header and your information that is about your offer and your personality and your message is way down below because there's this big graphic header and other information is counterproductive.
And again, I'll steal from Gary Halbert. Is his line was, whether it was email or direct mail, was you want it to read like you're sitting down with your buddy next to the bar, explaining to him what you have to offer, what your thinking is, and one thing or another. Not that you're trying to create a billboard or you're trying to create a corporate voice. And again, it's endemic in this industry that people try to have this corporate facade that doesn't have human beings attached to it. And so what we've seen the most effective is just like a very personal, I got up this morning and I was driving down the road and I saw this billboard and it made me think about blah, 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 we just went to the Caribbean and one of the things I noticed was, and that, gave me the thought of, you want it to be very personal. You want it to come across as it's engaging in what you're doing. I like to do rants, right? But, it's a rant about something.
Yeah.
That's the Kennedy format is, I'm pissed off about something today and I want to let you know about it. But it's a rant or it's a autobiographical, or it's you to get into the topic, it's this thing reminding me of this, and it ultimately comes down to this is what's happening. And
so it's going to relate to what you're going to sell, but it's interesting.
Yeah, engaging. I mean, people enjoy stories. They enjoy getting inside somebody else's autobiography and what's going on. They like the backstory. They like the day-to-day. And, of course, you're not going to, you're going to be judicious in what you share and what you don't share. But the more human you are, and frankly, the warts are things that engage people, right? So, I'm not going to ever post on social media or say, I was so depressed last night, I drank a bottle of tequila.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't drink, and, you don't drink much, but I'm not going to do that.
Sure.
But it's going to be, wow, we were, I went to Fort Lauderdale, and I was looking at all the yachts around, and it just reminded me how much money is in the world. And, we get into a place of lack, and instead there's abundance, and I made a renewed effort to go find where the people with money are and stop dealing with people who don't have money. And one of the conclusions I make, it's that kind of...
Yeah, or like right now, we're in Annapolis, where we're going to be visiting the Naval Academy, and there's lots of things to relate to here. How these guys are working like crazy, 16 hours a day to achieve a really big goal.
Yeah.
And then we can talk to someone about, how does this relate to the goals you're trying to achieve? And then it has something to do with the webinar I'm offering. Yeah. But there's a relationship that makes some sense. Or it may not even relate directly to the offer that I'm giving, but that might be in my PS.
Yeah.
Or there's some other kind of connection that I'm making with the person that's going to be reading it.
I was just listening to Joe Rogan's podcast, or I was Jocko, I never can pronounce his last name, but and he made a comment that really made me think about our business and, you know, the way that we work together. And what I found was, right, I mean, it's, you know, it's that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But so one of the elements of using email effectively is frequency. So it doesn't, you don't have to be Shakespeare, and you don't want it to come from a faceless corporation, you want it to come from an individual. But the ideal would be, you know, you're emailing them, worst case, 3-4 times a week, best case, you know, 7 times, 8 times a week. And, you know, they don't have to be 1,000 words, they can be 200 words, but you're reaching out and you're constantly in front of them. Now, from a standpoint of them actually reading the email, we know number one is frequency because it's familiar, but number two is then the subject line.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, well, the subject line, actually the from yeah. email address.
Right, right.
So the from email address, where you're emailing it from. If you email it from, in a perfect world, now we're getting a little bit of complexity, but we've talked about, like, if it's a prospect or your current clients that you're emailing, we want to do a little bit of work to get our email address in their contact list.
Right. Right.
So to keep things from getting into spam, and let's write subject or from email address here.
Well, you know what I saw, the worst case scenario, is it said from mail list at xyz.net or something like
right,
that.
Right, right.
It's like,
yeah, the from email address, so like, for example, you know, if you were Bob at advisorworldmastery.com, mm-hmm. that Bob Dunn at advisorworldmastery.com yeah. is one of our director, so if it was from that email address, that's a personalized email address. Now, that isn't in most of your email contact lists. So your email software might, or mine, Greg Moody at advisorwealthmastery.com, that's my email address. So that isn't in your contact list right now. If you were my client at the practice, we'd want to make sure that I gave you my contact card and asked you to add that to your phone. And that's just a normal thing. As we got you started at the practice, we'd say, oh, and here's my contact card. Let's make sure we add that to your phone so you'll know when I call and you have all my contact information. That'd be a service bonus to you. When you add that to your phone, it gets into your, you know, tablet and your laptop and gets into your system. And that, again, is a benefit to your clients. Yeah. Now they're going to have your information there, and their email software will go, oh, this is a recognized email address, mm-hmm. so it's more likely to get into their computer. Yeah. Now, even for people that don't have your email address, if it was something like info at, or the server was, certain servers that wouldn't be recognized, like now, Yahoo mm-hmm. is one that gets, if you're sending it from a Yahoo email address, or certain email servers, there's certain things that can happen from your from address.
Where they can get ash canned.
Yeah, that they can be more likely to get spammed. Yeah. So first of all, if it's a recognized email address, second, if it's a more likely to get spammed email address, that can hurt you. The next
And that's to get it into the email box.
Yeah, that's to get it into their inbox, to get it delivered into their inbox. Yeah. But then to get it read, subject line.
And the way to think about a subject line is a headline, which is an ad for the ad or an ad for the engagement. And there's a number of different ways to do headlines. There's curiosity, right? So if you pick one of those stories that I was listening, you know, that I was making up on the fly, but, you know, I was listening to Joe Rogan's podcast and it dawned on me, you know, some really important ideas for you on how to really make sure your you know, financial future is stable. Well, okay, well, Rogan, what does that have to do with anything? And then the story continues. So that's like curiosity, right? You know, something that's the powerful concept that I always come back to is, you know, what's in their mind? What is it they're thinking? What's going on? And if I can, like, plug right into that, then I'm better off, you know? And the more topical, especially in email, if there's new news today, or there's new news this week, mm-hmm. if there's, you know, new news on legislation that's going to affect tax rates, or new news on legislation that's going to affect IRAs, or there's new capital gains tax coming in.
Greg, tax rate changed today.
You
know, that would be a subject line. I might, you know, I better, I better open that thing as I got to find that out. Tax rate changed today.
Or how to avoid the upcoming increase in taxes on capital gains.
Right.
You know, that was a little milquetoast, a little bland, but you get the idea. So I always find topical current events, what's going on in the news. And if, you know, if it's obscure, that becomes like a curiosity type of headline. And if it's like, you know, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, Wall Street Journal, you know, local papers are all covering it, that's something that's immediately, you know, into their mind, and you're, you know, the little known secrets behind current legislation and how it's going to disrupt your retirement plans. Well, what the hell is that, right? And so, so having a subject line that's enticing and it's interesting. And I think one of the things that's misunderstood is people will look at their email list and say, oh, well, you know, I'm only get 20% open rate. Well, just being there every day or being there twice a day keeps them a little familiar with you, keeps them maybe top of mind, or, you know, in their mind at all. And if they only, you know, if you get 20% open rate, I mean, on average, looking at it once every 5 days, that's okay. You know, if they actually opened it and read it, and the open rates can be misleading too, right? I mean, they can, you know, they can have essentially gotten the idea by doing a little preview on it, and then sometimes that doesn't get counted.
Yeah, or they see your subject line, but they never open it. They could just delete it, but they saw your subject line. So that's still an impression.
Yeah.
And even though we're not big on just impression marketing, it still some has some value.
But especially, other than your time to zap it out, it was free.
Yeah. Right. So, so even though we know that our big objection to email, where we said it was a love-hate relationship, which should be understood, is when it's the only thing people do, and they make the errors that we're talking about by having low frequency or intermittent. The worst error is intermittent frequency, where you email them a couple times 1 week, and then they don't hear from you for a month. Then you email them a couple times, and then you once that'll just crush your opt-out rates. You'll have horrible opt-out rates when you do that. So you've got to be consistent, and we want the frequency to be up. But we do want you to use email, but what are the big error we just see is people get dependent on it. And you'll have a lot of these so-called gurus, and they're really just selling you these email systems.
Yeah.
And they'll say, well, no.
Or they're stuck 5 years ago.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, I could use email much more heavily 10 years ago. And
you still should have used it. We would have still advised you to use the other systems with texting and direct mail and outbound calls and voice broadcast and other systems.
By the way, this is with clients too. Is if I'm going to do a webinar that they should attend, if I'm going to do, you know, some CRM systems will automatically let you schedule your, you know, quarterly or your twice a year or annual meeting with people and give them a schedule link. Even with clients, I mean, I keep having these conversations of, you know, what are your results on blank? Well, I emailed them. Yeah. Well, you know, what else did you do? Well, I'm waiting for to hear back. Well, how long ago was that? Well, a week ago. It's like, well, wait a minute. Yeah. If you email somebody and you don't hear back that day, you're never going to hear from them. And they probably didn't even see it, right? Yeah. And if they saw it, maybe they went in their mind, oh, that's important, I'll get back to them on that. But see, as soon as the next 100 show up and, you know, the kids are crying, or the something happened at work, or, you know, breaking news, whatever it is, they get distracted and they don't remember it at all.
Well, yeah, and that's a good point. For client emails, when we look at where you're using emails, which might be important to differentiate, for client emails, for things that I'm supposed to do with my clients, mm-hmm. have a meeting with them, talk to them, work on their plan, which might increase their investable assets.
Just to encourage referrals, top of mind awareness.
Yeah, lots of reasons we should, in a separate segment, talk about doing that more frequently. I would never assume emails ever being read.
No.
Would I use emails? Sure. I'd use it to confirm appointments. I'd use it even to, you know, initiate appointment setting, for sure. But I would also, you know, my phrase is call, text, email. So we call them, text them, and email them for any of that
stuff. And what you mean by that is you call them, leave a voicemail, text them, and email.
Yeah, you never like it when it's only one thing. But call, whenever a call happens,
I've had too many staff over the years who they just heard, oh, well, he didn't say anything about leaving a message.
So. Yeah, so but call always implies that when we call and we would leave a voicemail and or talk to them. Text them and email. So all of that has to happen every time. So with clients, it's all of those things. Now, email for clients is also used as an engagement process. So they would get our newsletter on a regular basis. They would get frequent emails for continued engagement and education and reminders. Our podcast just got released, so make sure you subscribe and listen to our podcast. Even if they've subscribed, they'll get reminded that it's there. We just did a blog post on this. You know, make sure you bring your friend to our event on this topic or our client appreciation event at the art gallery we're going to have on, you know, September 15th and so on. So there's lots of uses for email. They would also get text reminders. There'd be other stuff to supplement the email. And that's the error that happens in addition to the ones that we're mentioning here. Well, so to use it effectively, you've got to do these things. But it's where we get into a hate relationship is when we hear people doing, number one, it's the only thing they do, but number two, they're not using it effectively.
Well, and with clients and prospects is, you know, my rule of thumb is, you know, the nice thing about email and now Facebook Messenger and all the other different social media communications and Slack and everything is it's, you know, what we call asynchronous communication. You and I don't have to be in the same place at the same time, whether on the phone or one thing or another, to communicate and share information. But from a sales standpoint and a relationship standpoint, asynchronous communication is very ineffective. And, I mean, it's just like text messaging. I mean, you know, it's the standard of late night fare of I text something and the other person hears something different than I text, and it just, you know, gets completely FUBAR, right? And so one of the things to keep in mind, again, with somebody who's in the sales process with you, somebody who's a client, is it's not the way you make a sale. It's not the way you solve problems. And it's other than personality showing up in their inbox, it's not really the way that you maintain the relationship either, right? So, yeah, I think it's a big mistake. It's fine if you send them a DocuSign link and they got a DocuSign because, you know, on this policy you need everything signed off on and you send that. And frankly, I would text them and call them to let them know to look for it, right? Because otherwise they may not see it. But we see sometimes even difficult, even argumentative conversations being handled by email.
Yeah.
And what we teach all of our clients is email, text, etc. only gets used to move it to a telephone, Zoom, or face-to-face. And I would say face-to-face is most effective, mm-hmm. Zoom is second most, or comparable, and telephone is third. But all of those are, what, by a factor of 100, better than text back and forth, messenger back and forth, email back and forth, or whatever. And that's, again, an important message is most of what we do with email is like one-to-many, designed to feel like one-to-one. And then other elements of what we would do in the normal course of business is, you know, like we're here at a hotel, you know, down the street from the Naval Academy, and we're doing a corporate behind the scenes of the Naval Academy, and we have food being served and stuff. Well, all of that was transacted by, they send me the DocuSign, they PDF me a thing, I send it back, I send them follow-up. But frankly, the initial setup was all done by phone, right? So it's clear that email's fine for sharing documents, and email's fine for you need a DocuSign, and email's fine for, you know, one-to-many communications, but it's not fine for actually having a person-to-person conversation.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's going to give you $1 million to manage for them, you know, by email back and forth or text message back
and forth. Well, and I would expand on that I think there's this feeling that, oh, but that's really cumbersome to call and to follow up with people. It's a lot less work. Because if you're emailing, then you gotta wait for the email, and then there's time lost and checking email, and then it's this, as you say, asynchronous communication where you're not at the same place at the same time, it's a lot easier just having it out by the phone to get things moved along. And you're going to get something done when you when you do connect.
That little cartoon meme that Mindy sent to all of us, remember? It was, you know, the boss subordinate, and the boss is saying, "Did you contact them?" And the response is, "Well, I emailed them." And, you know, no, "Did you talk to them?" "Well, I'll text them." No, just call them, right? Just call them. And again, I think the biggest value of all of that is to schedule a time to talk.
Right. Emails to supplement and enhance your ability to have actual human interactions. We want you to use, in all the segments that we've talked about using the internet, we talked about using direct mail, we've talked about texting, we've talked about email, we've talked about all these pieces that you need to use, and we want you to automate them. And for anybody that's scared, it's like, "Oh crap, they're telling me to use all this stuff. I want to shut everything off." No, yes. We'll help you make it easy.
One step at a time.
But it's to enhance you being able to do more human interactions with people, because that's the most efficient way to get more business done.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, we wouldn't have to do any of that. We just talk to people.
Yeah, well, my favorite use of text is to set an appointment to actually talk with somebody, right? Is, you know, it eliminates that phone tag thing about, you know, of cold calls, and they call you back and forth. But, I mean, I can text them a schedule link and say, "Put it on my calendar." It's like when we were talking about podcasts, you know, here's a link, you know, we're going to do an interview, put the time that works best for you, and we'll do it. We need to set a follow-up meeting. Here's the link to my calendar. Let's set a time to do it.
If anybody engages me too much by text, by the way, I just then call them because I have their number because they texted me.
Yeah.
So that's the process of what you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think we've given you a lot, but what I will say about email is break the habit of trying to move from personal to corporate, and instead move from corporate to personal. Have personality. Be willing to polarize. Be willing to be quirky. Be willing to be interesting. Be willing to be different. You know, the old Apple thing, think different.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to be willing to be engaging, to be different, and utilize stories, and don't make it dry, right? And again, really, you know, people would rather be entertained than educated. That was, you know, Walt Disney's thing, right? But what you really want to do is you want to educate them up to the point where they say, "Well, there's a lot to know about this. I want you to do it for me. It takes a lot of time to stay on top of this. I want you to do it for me." And that's a fairly easy threshold to cross. And it's easier and easier and easier the higher income bracket they're in, the more important role they're in.
Which are the clients that you want.
Exactly. But with email can be used for an awful lot of different things, but mostly it's just to keep in front of them and keep nurturing the relationship and have them be familiar with you and utilizing other aspects to also communicate with them. But ultimately your mission, of course, is to make an appointment and to turn them into a new client, or if they're a client, to, you know, keep them engaged, keep them happy, and generate other clients. But it really isn't going to solve all your problems. It's just a piece. And, you know, my last I hate email is that, you know, email is dying a slow and painful death, right? Is I would love it if email was as fruitful as back with the Goldie Hawn and Tom Hanks movie.
Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks.
Meg Ryan, there you go.
Get the movies right, you got mail.
Yeah, well, exactly.
It'd be nice if it worked as well as that, but it doesn't.
Yeah, it'd be nice if everybody's sitting there waiting for your special, you know, email missive today. But they're not.
Right.
And they're not even in a good mood when they have to go through it all.
And they probably won't see it.
Yeah, probably. But they'll see enough of them if you're regular and consistent.
If you do this stuff right.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, just keep in mind, again, my hate about it is that it's dying a slow and painful death. Everybody's trying to get rid of it. You know, pretty much everybody hates it. The next generation, by the way, my daughter doesn't really use email. You know, if I could email her something, she'll maybe look at it once a month because her school might send her something. You know, they're using Messenger and stuff on Snapchat and what's the video app? TikTok.
Yeah.
So there's this constant evolution too of age demographic and of what's new and what's exciting. We do know that text has a almost 100% open rate and almost a 100% read rate, so or deliverability rate, I guess is what I meant to say. And so utilize all of the medium, but do it in an engaging and thoughtful way and be really consistent with it. Right. On that, we'll leave you with that.